Skirting around the temple, the group heard the gaudy house long before they saw the place. Gales of laughter came from the second floor, shadowy figures ran past the louvered shutters, and there was actual glass in the lower windows, showing a roaring fireplace and tables of men eating and drinking. The few women moving through the crowd were scantily dressed. A group of horses was tied to a stone hitching post, with a lone sekman leaning against it smoking a home-rolled cig. He watched the outlanders cross the street, but said nothing as they passed by, heading for the brothel.
Must be the designated driver.
Mildred waited for a response from the others, then realized the joke was 100 years out of date. Oh well. Stepping through the doorway of the gaudy house, Ryan pushed aside a blanket hanging across the opening to help keep out the evening chill. Inside the building, the air was warm and heavy with the smells of food and wood smoke. From the bolt holes in the concrete floor, marking where heavy machinery had once been anchored, it was obvious that the place had originally been some sort of factory, now gutted into a single huge room with bare steel beams supporting the second story. Clusters of candles hung from chains attached to the metal rafters, clay bowls underneath positioned to catch drippings so as not to lose a drop of wax. A roaring fireplace was near the wooden counter that served as a bar, with a bubbling iron pot sitting directly amid the crackling flames, the roasted carcass of something slowly turning on a spit. The tables were mostly cut-down wooden spools that at one time housed industrial cable, the chairs a mixture of anything that could be sat upon, including a flat rock and some plain wooden boxes. Incredibly, over in the far corner, a sticky was stuffed and mounted on a wooden box, its eyes replaced with shiny glass marbles, its hands raised as if about to attack. The mutie was wearing pants, but its chest was bare, the mottled skin covered with the puckered scars of large bore bullet holes, along with a stitched slash on its neck that went almost completely across.
Must be in some fat.
That it was, young fella.
A drunken sec man waved a wooden mug.
Buy me a drink, and I'll tell you all the details. Lost 10 men chilling the bastards, and nearly got caught by the core.
Another man grabbed the arm of his friend and squeezed so hard his knuckles went white.
Shut up, fool!
The drunk went silent and bent over his mug to concentrate on his shine. The core, eh? Ryan filed that name away to check into if he got the chance. Maybe that was what the traitor was calling his people these days. Now voices dropped as the companions made their way through the room heading for an empty table. Taking a seat, Christy noticed an old brass plaque on the wall, the lettering barely discernible, buried as it was under the accumulation of grease and dirt.
Rock Point 9 Relay Station. Relay for what, I wonder?
Mildred reviewed the villa in her mind.
There was no sign of any power lines. Might have been a satellite base, or microwave transmission relay for telephones.
Placing his long blaster on the table in plain sight, Ryan left the table and went to the counter. The man behind the bar was tall and muscular, missing several fingers on his left hand, and his left eye was a marbled white, a long scar going from his forehead across the dead orb and down to his dimpled chin. Ryan gestured at the man's white scar.
Lost it in a knife fight, eh? Me too.
But we're still here, and the other fella ain't. Nice to meet another brother of the blade. I'm Bart. So what do you want, Outlander? No eyes for sale today.
Snorting a laugh, Ryan found himself immediately liking the man.
Just food.
Then on impulse, he reached into a pocket and flipped the man a single .22 cartridge. The bartender made the catch with both hands and stared at the round of ammo as if it were alive.
Damn, prime condition. Stew is on the fire. Help yourself.
Bart pocketed the round.
Got some roast Lizzie, but not much left. If you ain't got a plate, use a hubber. But then you scrub it clean afterward. Or there's some flatbread, all you want.
A hubber was a hubcap for a plate. Glancing at the fireplace, Ryan now saw a battered plastic milk crate stacked with the ornate metal discs bearing car company logos. The companions had military mess kits, but showing off their wealth in such a poor ville would only start a fight.
We'll use the flatbread.
The drunken sec man stumbled at the end of the bar and thumped it with a fist.
Here!
Smart choice on the flatbread.
Bart pulled a chipped ceramic mug from under the counter and dipped it into an open barrel behind the counter.
Most people don't clean the Hubbard so well, and some of them are kind of ripe.
JB joined them at the counter.
Is the bread fresh?
Sliding a mug down the counter to the waiting customer, Bart looked hostily at the man's glasses. Ryan twitched a thumb at the armorer.
He's with me.
The sick man at the end caught his beer, slopping some of the pale fluid onto himself and the floor, then stumbled away, sipping noisily at the mug.
Fresh? Well, it wasn't made today.
Bart wiped his mutilated hands dry on a wet towel tucked into his gun belt. There was no blaster, the holster containing a wooden cudgel instead.
But then it wasn't made last moon, either. Fresh enough to eat if you got strong teeth.
Uh-huh. Anything to drink, Bart?
This was a technique he had learned long ago. Chat with a bartender, get on his good side, and slowly the man would spill the local gossip.
Beer and shine. Only water here is reserved for sec men. Ain't none for sale.
That's so, brother.
Ryan scratched at his leather eye patch. Keeping a straight expression, Bart placed a scarred arm on the counter and leaned forward.
Well, if you pay double the price for shine, there might be water in the mug. Stranger things have happened.
Sounds good. A round of shine for the table.
Ryan reached into a pocket and placed a couple of 22 rounds on the counter. Bart quickly covered the rounds with a hand and slid them out of sight.
Nuke me, but you're packing brass. What are you, the trader's bastard?
Could be.
JB rested an arm on the counter and briefly opened his fingers to expose a pile of cartridges.
And if we were looking to avoid that person, which would be the best direction for us not to travel?
Bart arched an eyebrow at the man and clamped his mouth tight. All traces of friendliness gone.
I'll have a girl bring the drinks.
The men had no choice but to walk away from the counter.
Well, that could have gone better.
Ryan agreed, glancing backward. The bartender avoided his look.
Gaza has these folks scared to the bone. Maybe we should visit the Baron and see what we can learn from him directly.
You mean pretend we're mercies and try to hire on for the job of chilling the trader?
We've done it before.
Not always with success, though.
As they crossed the room, a group of sec men watched the companions closely and started to whisper among themselves. Ryan spotted them and marked the group as possible trouble. Returning to their table, the men told the others what had happened. Just as they finished, some feminine laughter sounded from upstairs, and the floor began thumping in a familiar pattern.
Got idea.
Jack inclined his head toward the stairs.
Go talk girls. Never knew goddess slut won't talk for extra jack and no sweating.
Yeah, they'd know everything. Probably more than the Baron does about what was happening in his ville.
Ryan pulled a box closer to the table.
Food first. Gonna be a long night, no matter how this goes.
A girl who looked more like a gaudy slut than a waitress brought over a tray of mugs filled with water and left without saying a word.
Wait a minute before drinking.
Mildred took a mug and sniffed carefully. Lifting it to the flickering candlelight, she inspected the coloration of the contents, then dipped in a finger and placed a drop on the back of her hand, then touched the tip of her tongue to the drop.
It's clean.
Ryan also checked his rad counter.
And clear.
More than once they had bought water, only to find it hotter than the bottom of a glass lake. After quenching their thirst, the companions got their food two at a time and settled down to eat. During the meal, a few sec men wandered upstairs drunk, and a few came stumbling down the stairs, fixing their pants and tucking in their shirts. A bald man stopped near the table and leered at Christy, but she placed her revolver on the table and he moved off quickly, muttering under his breath.
If Jack gets nothing upstairs, we'll get back and start work on the wag so it's ready to leave at dawn.
Leave for where?
There was meat in the mix of the stew Christy was chewing, and some veggies, but also a lot of gritty corn. The kernels had to have been ground between pieces of sandstone, or house bricks.
Grandee?
Ryan took the last chunk of flatbread and stuffed it into his mouth to chew it soft. After swallowing, he continued.
We can use that place near the river as a base to start searching the Deathlands until we find somebody who knows something.
Gotta go there anyway.
JB dipped his bread into the water to try to soften the stuff. The bread swelled a little and he chewed it carefully, finding more grit in the flatbread. Damn sand was everywhere. Had to be mighty uncomfortable for the girls working overhead.
That seems to be our best plan so far.
Mildred cleaned her spoon on a spare chunk of bread before tucking the spoon back into her jacket pocket.
I'll get something for Dean and Doc.
Standing, she checked her blaster, then headed for the fireplace. A couple of the drunks watched her pass, but none of them got in her way. As Mildred returned with cigar-like rolls of flatbread containing stew, a mature woman came over with a tray of wooden mugs. Ryan immediately grew suspicious.
We didn't order a second round.
As she placed the drinks on the table, he noticed the woman had eyes as blue as topaz, startling in their intensity of color.
Here you are, sir. Sorry it took so long. Bart is my husband.
Something wrong?
Hell yes.
She quickly took the empty mugs and put them on her tray. It was just a circle of plastic, but seemed to serve well enough.
In this veil, asking certain questions gets you sent to the temple to feed the scorpion god. What you were talking about is top round in that mag. Ain't nobody here gonna talk about that person you mentioned, unless they're a Phoebe.
Well, that certainly covered those two at the motel.
Thanks for the tip. Anything else?
The woman began acting flustered for no apparent reason.
Oops, sorry.
Then, pulling out a rag, she pretended to mop up a spill on the dry table. When she took it away, there now was a damp circle on the wood with a tail sticking out like a comet. Or a compass heading. Christy glanced up at that, and emerald green eyes met those of ultra blue. The redhead pressed a handful of spare rounds into the pocket of the woman's apron.
Understood. We'll stay low.
Don't go upstairs. They're waiting for you. That wag caused a stir here like kicking a hornet's nest. Everybody wants it to try to escape.
The woman turned to leave.
Sorry again. Anything else you need, just ask.
As the woman returned to the bar, Christy wiped her hands across the mark, obliterating it from the table.
South by southwest.
She took a sip of her water, then reacted when she realized the mug was filled with shine. Mother Gaia was strong. They could use this to run the wag if necessary.
Okay, we got what we wanted.
Ryan stood and hitched his belt.
Let's go.
The companions left the gaudy house and hurried up the street, pausing at the sight of the lighted barn. Dean stood in the doorway with a drawn blaster in his hand. Ryan slid the stire off his shoulder and worked the bolt.
Hey, Abel.
The fake name was part of their established code, asking if there was an ambush. The boy answered him, giving the prearranged countersign.
No problems here, Charlie.
The friends entered the barn and found the wag parked exactly where they left it, the nuke lamp blazing away. High in the sky, lightning briefly flickered across the black storm clouds, drifting among the thick patina of twinkling stars.
Here you go.
Mildred passed over the wrapped stew. Without a word, Dean tore into it like a wolf and didn't speak for a few moments. Finally, he came up to breathe.
Mm. Damn, that's good. Hot pipe, I was starving. What took you so long? It's been over 2 hours and I was starting to worry.
Doc should have told you we were getting food.
Ryan glanced around.
Where is he anyway? Taking a nap in the wag?
Lowering his soggy sandwich, the boy blinked in surprise.
But he's with you. I haven't seen Doc since you left.
Stepping outside the barn, the companions listened to the bell around them, straining for the faintest cry from the missing man. But the silence was thick. No shouts or sounds of a struggle disturbing the night. Ryan unholstered his blaster.
The peace of a grave. Somebody's playing us for fools. Mildred, JB, stay here. Christy, with me. We'll check the motel, see if Sparrow and Jed are still tied up. Jack, sweep the area for any traces.
As the man and woman dashed out of the structure into the dark street, Jack grabbed a nuke lamp from the back of the wag. Returning to the street, he started at the front door and began sweeping the blaze of light along the cobblestones.
Pity we can't use the wag to search the ville, but that perforated muffler makes so much noise it would announce our presence to deaf people.
Any chance you refilled the wag, Dean?
Sure, not much else to do.
The boy licked his fingers, then wiped his greasy mouth on a sleeve.
Maybe Doc is just off at the shitters.
For 2 hours? Damn well hope not.
Maybe he fell in. Old wooden planks get weak and it happens sometimes.
Hell of a way to die, drowning in a pit of shit. Stay here with Dean and I'll go check.
Nobody's going anywhere alone. We wait for the others to come back, then we check.
He could die by then.
And it could be a trap. We go with what we know. I'd sure as hell hate to lose Doc, but I'm damn sure that I would rather keep you, Millie.
Just then, Jack appeared at the open doorway of the barn holding Doc's sword. The ebony sheath was missing, and the blade was darkly stained with blood.
Night creep. Got him.
Mildred pulled her piece.
Can you track them?
Not on bare stone.